This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Okay, so here we are. Welcome to Gayotic.
We're here. Yep.
Yeah. We're here with our beautiful, gorgeous, sexy. Wonderful, funny.
Talented, so funny.
Visionary of a friend. One of the most exciting additions of friendship in our lives.
That's happened in a long time.
Yeah. I want to say more about what you're doing recently, but I don't know what I'm allowed to talk about or not to. So.
You can talk about anything.
We also haven't named this guest.
Yeah, actually.
Well, I feel like this podcast is actually about anonymity. You're reeling it out, you know?
Elton John.
Some of the best content. Some of the best content of our generation, I think, has been produced by this human being. He who shall be named currently as Caleb.
Caleb Heron.
Wow.
What if I didn't know your last name?
You're like, it's Caleb? You don't know my first name either. He's been around a lot.
I'm just really taking a long time to get there.
Yeah. Our guest today is really something.
Almost goes beyond the name.
Yeah. Exists beyond a name. I think we shouldn't even name him. Here he is.
I would do that, unfortunately.
Okay, we immediately started talking about serial killers.
But wait, what is the T?
There's no
what is the T?
So you were gonna
tell
spill
us
the
what
tea.
You were gonna
I like
tell
how you're
about.
Like, what is the T?
Oh, the T? Oh, so, well, serial killers. I have recently become obsessed with and everybody say it with me, Mr. John Wayne Gacy.
Holy shit. I don't know as much about John Wayne Gacy as one would think.
Did the you scariest post a clip of his interview on your Insta story? Was that him, the one who was saying he's not gay?
Yes. Okay. No. That was somebody else.
Oh, okay.
So that was from a documentary called Pray Away. I've been experimenting
with being straight. And I do want to talk about that. Yeah. And I do want to talk about that.
I'm tired of being gay. You know what I was thinking on the way over here? And your listeners need to know this. Muna fans need to know this.
Thank you.
What would I tell Muna fans if I had to tell them something?
Oh, that's cute.
Because I was like, what would it be? Well, and on the drive over here, I was thinking, it is so annoying to be friends with you guys.
Wow.
because you guys are like, you're very musically talented. I love your music. You know this. But then I hang out with you and you're also funny and hot and nice. And I'm like, it is so frustrating and disgusting.
Are you breaking up with us?
Yes.
Yeah, for a second I thought it's either
it
hitting on or breaking up
Both.
With.
Both. I'm like,
tell.
That's the thing is I don't know my role in our relationship. I'm like, am I supposed to be trying to date you guys? Am I supposed to be laughing at your jokes? Am I supposed to be a fan of your music? It's just too much.
Yeah.
You guys need to really zero in on one thing. I think just do the music. Stop being hot and funny if you can.
This is being really cute. Okay. You're just making me want you even more. Stop.
Katie has been flirting with me so much.
She really
Katie,
has.
The listeners don't even know.
They have no idea.
But Katie has been on my job.
You would not guess what Naomi and I are seeing. They are tackling each other.
The tips of their tongues are wrapping around in a ring.
Currently, I don't even know how we're talking right now based on our talk.
Katie has been. Katie, what is that about? You have been really sexual.
No, but listen.
Me.
Okay, wait. Y'all were at my house, and I didn't have your number. And then, and that whole night, I was experiencing like. I think coming out of the pandemic, I am having a new experience of social anxiety. Like, I didn't really get it before when people were talking about like how they would like go over everything they said. Like, you know, they'd say
before
something in
after.
A group. Before the pandemic, like
no, I'm saying
after.
Okay, reviewing, replaying.
Yeah. She actually has a whole script of what she's gonna talk about that.
Yeah,
night.
Before I have everything written out, so it's not an issue.
I'll tell you a story after this. You could keep going on your thought.
Okay. But I just walked up to you, like I was getting tired, and I was honestly low key trying to move people out of my house. But I walked up to you, and I was like, I think I just straight up asked for your number. But
Katie walks up to me and was like, "Hey, what's your number?"
We love your vibe.
It came off really sexy.
We love your vibe.
Really.
She also took her pointer finger and like did like a little swirly pattern down my chest when she said it. Yeah. She's like, "What's your number?" And then was licking her lips, of course, a lot.
Yeah.
Playing guitar.
Yeah. And then she whipped out a guitar. She started playing a juicy, delicious chord.
But part of me did
kind
of panic when you were like, "Are you hitting on?" I knew it was a joke, but then I panicked a little bit too. I was like, "Am I hitting on him?" I was like, "I don't know." Oh my god.
The lack of the ability to self perceive in that moment is so funny. Kayla, what were you going to tell Katie?
What was the story? Well,
I was going to tell all of you. Speaking of planning out what you're going to say beforehand, there was this one Thanksgiving. I have this Uncle Gerald who is unwell.
I love Gerald.
He's unwell. We shout out if he's listening. You are unwell.
I'm sorry, buddy.
One Thanksgiving, he was like really on it. He was like walking around the house. You know, for Thanksgiving, we all like move into my grandma's house for a couple days.
I'm afraid of where the story's going.
It only ends positively. But we all move in there for a couple of days. So like me, my dad, my aunt, my uncle, my cousins, we all live at my grandma's house for like 4 days. And that's what we do for Thanksgiving. It's very sweet. I like it a lot. But Gerald doesn't stay over. He lives in the same town. So he would just drive over and come for dinner or whatever. Well, he's like really on this year. He's like walking from room to room being like, "Yeah, I got my summer teeth in. Some are there and some are missing." And he's like really like walking around telling jokes. And we're like, "Okay, Gerald," like he's really feeling himself. And the whole day we're kind of like walking around telling each other like, "Gerald seems really on this year. Like, what is going on?"
Right.
And then he goes outside to smoke, and my Uncle Travis is out there smoking, and he pulls a little, like,
oh my God,
list out of his pocket and is like, checks something off. And my Uncle Travis noticed that he had like a set list for the day. That he was like jokes he wanted to try and
conversation
tell to the
topics.
Family. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's like things he wanted to bring up.
There's something that's really sad and cute.
It's so cute.
You have to know him to know that it's not as cute as it sounds, but it is pretty. It's a thing that definitely, like, if you saw it in a movie, you'd go.
It's different when it's your actual family member, but oh my God.
It's kind of heartbreaking.
It's a little bit heartbreaking.
Yeah.
It's really heartbreaking.
Yeah. I mean, it's also very childlike. Like, I did that. I actually did write out what I was going to say when I was in fifth grade and dating a boy, and I called him on my landline because we talked for like half an hour after school, and I would write out the things that I could ask him about because I was so nervous.
Katie sent us the note that she was going to say to you today.
Yeah.
yeah. When you were going to call me on your landline.
I'm like, so if there's any awkward silences.
What would
I
say?
What would I even bring up then?
That's actually me, to be honest. I literally, we were at a party. I was at a party and literally me and the person I was talking to, I was like, I swear to God, it was like there was a camera
you
that
ran out.
I was like,
I have a really bad habit when I feel like a conversation is not going, if I'm just like, a conversation needs a pick me up. I don't know why or how or when this happened, but, and Shelby hates this, but I have fallen back on just asking whoever I'm with, "Do you think you could get away with killing somebody?"
That's a fantastic icebreaker.
I think it's fun. Shelby hates it because I do it all the time now. But anytime a conversation's not going, it doesn't matter if it's strangers or people we've known for years, I'll just be like, "Do you think you could get away with killing somebody?" And it usually does help.
Well, what's your answer? Yeah.
Yes.
Why?
Because he's studying John Wayne Gacy.
Well, and then that's a good thing. Yeah, but like John Wayne Gacy didn't get away with it.
Well, he could have. He was not smart about it.
He got away with a lot of murders, to be honest.
For a while, but it was also because of so much neglect. But I think you become lazy as a killer. It's like you've gotten away for it for so long. You're like, eh. It's like Dahmer, like, went on us. We don't have to go into it, but I do think you become lazy. Naomi would really like us to actually.
I don't desire to kill somebody.
Just one person. Just one person.
Yeah, just one person. Have to be a stranger. I don't desire to kill somebody. But when I think about, like, do I think. Here's the question that comes. When you ask people that question, they have two approaches. They're like, "Do you mean emotionally, like what I tell on myself? Or do you mean logistically, could I hide the body or whatever?" And I'm like, those are both parts of it. You have to be able to. A lot of people say they would tell on themselves. I would never tell on myself. I out of self-preservation, I would have to
keep
that.
Would you tell when you said telling yourself, like, would you have to? I don't think I could not tell my friends.
I know who I could tell.
Who? Shelby?
I couldn't tell Shelby.
Sorry, Shelby.
I couldn't tell Shelby. I think it would eat her up.
So sorry,
you think
Shelby.
You could tell us?
I actually
know. Really in the relationship.
Well, the thing about the three of us is all the people we would tell, it's like, it's only 1 degree away.
I think I would only tell you guys. I feel like I could tell y'all. And I think, like, if we're talking, like, call the body hiders, like, oh, fuck, something crazy just happened. Like,
and
I
we
need
to, like, bury it.
Yeah, I feel like we could actually do that. Actually, I do think we could. I don't necessarily want to.
I wouldn't do that for anybody. If someone, close friends ask me all the time if I needed your help hiding a body, would you do it? I say no. If you called me, I would immediately pretend that we didn't have the conversation. I'm not going to jail.
I feel like call the cops though.
I'm never going to go down as an accessory to a crime. That's not. I'm either going to do my own crime.
I would really. That's the lamest way to go down.
It really is.
It's like kill them. You
a
know,
party to?
Don't be an accessory.
I'm going to be a party to your crime? No, I want to commit my own.
No, I am the
party.
No.
I'm sorry. Oh, my God. You should watch it.
My
Joe,
bad joke.
Joe, put in one of those.
Couldn't help it. He was a comedian. Got to try.
He was a comedian.
Shoot my shot.
I got to shoot my shot. Dude.
Summer teeth.
Trying to take
the game.
Oh, my God. Summer teeth.
John Wayne Gacy is... really, really funny.
Wait, but how did you get into it? Like, what was the paper trail?
Here's the deal.
That led you to the clown.
I was thinking about...
That led you to the clown.
I was like, who could I play in a movie?
Okay.
And then I was like...
I can't believe that. That's where you ended up.
I was like, if I wanted to win an Oscar, who could I play in a movie? Like,
I'm shocked that they haven't made one.
There's no feature film about John Wayne Gacy.
Is it because he's gay? But you know, they're making one about Dahmer that... what's his name? I think Evan Peters is... Dahmer.
Oh, sure.
Why they can't get enough of too many Dahmers, too many Evan.
No,
offense,
I feel like everyone's
much of him.
Everyone's so Bundy, not Dahmer.
Ted
you
Bundy.
Know what I mean?
Because
a lady,
I don't think there's too much of Evan Peters.
I do agree because I think it's like Dahmer ultimately scary, but John Wayne Gacy's story from beginning to end, a thrill.
It's definitely a thrill. Scary. Though.
John Wayne Gacy got caught in Iowa before he did any of his murders. He got caught. He got sent to prison because he had sex with an underage boy or something. They did some kind of sex act. He got caught, went to prison. They let him out of prison because they loved him so much. The warden was transfixed with him. By the end of his time in prison, they were letting him wear the same uniform as the guard.
Naomi and I are laughing. Josette's not laughing at all. Josette's like, and this is how it works. This is how the serial killer system works.
No, but there's so many people in the 70s, dude. It's like this. I was listening.
I actually didn't think you were going to say in the 70s. I thought you were going to say serial killers are charismatic.
No, but serial killers are charismatic, but just because of how like the justice system was, and also like so many cases where it's like you get 25. Let's say you get a manslaughter charge, even though you killed someone, you get 25 years. With probation, like, you're out in 5, baby. Like, you're on... You're
talking like a DA. You're
out in 5, baby. It's no problem.
Let's say you get booked for a 25.
You're talking with probation? You'll get time
good
for good
behavior?
You're working in 2 months, baby. Take that. I'll take that
baby,
deal.
And I'm going to get you out of there. This is actually my ad for my new legal service.
So where did he go after Iowa, then?
So he gets let out of prison after... By the way, while he's in prison in Iowa, not only is he wearing the guard's uniform and everyone's in love with him, before he goes... He convinces a local business to donate a putt-putt course to the prison because he was like, we need mini golf here. So he gets a mini golf course installed for free.
What the fuck?
The man is, and then they let him go. So then he immediately goes to Chicago and starts killing like 45 young boys. And
is
if they
it
just,
that many?
Well, they only found 32 in
his
basement.
Yeah.
But
oh my God.
He told the cops
there
were more.
Oh my God.
He told
so
the cops
there
were
more.
Wasn't he also like trying to deny that he did it, but in doing the OJ thing of being like.
He's like, well, if I did it, I would have had help and it would have been the two boys that dug the holes for me because he couldn't fit under his. He wasn't small enough to fit down there. So the two guys who worked for him that he didn't kill, the two like young boys, it's almost certain that they were his helpers.
Oh
like he
God.
Helped with everything. They
but
helped
that,
with all of it.
I feel like that's so... The thing that's fucking crazy is how many crimes you hear about where so many people are complicit and they're just like totally
accessory,
cool with it.
Again.
Accessories. You know what's crazy? Me. To be an accessory, even though I did say I guess I was going to be accessories for YouTube. But
I think I would do it for y'all, but I think it would really weigh on
me. I don't think
it
would
me.
Be... I feel like it would be the disposal. It would be an... It would have to be an accidental like disposal. You know,
I just
that's
really, really hope we're never in this situation. Yeah.
I don't think this is ever going to happen for you guys.
I mean, the thing that's interesting about accessory, like being an accessory. Well, I think about it sometimes because, like, you know how there's like different types of now there's different types of 12-step programs where it's like substance abuse, but also like you can be addicted to a relationship and like. I think there's a lot of people that are in prison because they were like addicted to a partner who got them to do something illegal.
Oh
yeah.
My God.
Like a
yeah.
lot of women in women's prisons are like, yeah, I had a boyfriend who I just couldn't leave and he like asked me to do this thing and I did it. You know?
I just think about cults and how many crazy, I listen to a crazy thing about cults where like they were
they did the craziest shit to each other.
So I think I would need to be absolutely addicted to one of you in order to hide a body
how
for
is
you.
That not what's actually happening? Yeah. Like we've been in a relationship for like
we're addicted to each other?
I think it's just
I am a little bit. Yeah, I wouldn't be able to live without
like, who
you.
Else do we see?
Fair enough.
Wasn't Gacy also like, I didn't start the clown shit because to get close to the kids.
Dude, yeah.
Was that the thing? Was that the scam?
No, that was not the scam. So in the interview.
The scam
like,
was murder, ultimately.
The scam was sexual abuse and murder. But he. The big scam. In the documentary where he does, there's like these interviews with him. There's a documentary on Peacock. It's like 6 hours. And
I guess I'll watch
this whole thing.
I watched the whole thing. It's really fascinating.
I'm sure I will.
Joe being like, well, I guess
but
I'll
in
watch
the documentary, so they're like, he's like at one point out of nowhere, he goes, you know, everyone calls me the gay killer clown from Chicago. That's not, everyone thinks I got into clowning to meet victims. I got into clowning because it made me happy. And he's like, I didn't even go for kids that young.
And you're just taking notes. You're like, I need this in the movie.
I mean, it's all
this
so
line is
funny.
In the movie.
He should start like a campaign.
A campaign
to get you.
We'll be 100% your cheerleader champions when you're trying.
If anybody's listening to this and you're a screenwriter, please don't write a movie about John Wayne Gacy. I do think that someday I'm going to work on it. So just be cool
and but just wait it out
wait
until
it out.
You do it.
And
or
then
look,
we can
if
maybe
you,
work together.
You want a writing partner or someone to fund?
Yeah, if anyone's a really big screenwriter.
I think you should go back and talk to Sufjan too and see if he would sign on
Sufjan,
because
get on,
unfortunately,
baby boy.
My main association with John Wayne Gacy is like, so when I was 18, I smoked pot every day for about a year.
Thank you.
And
thank you for
and
that.
During that time, I was listening to Sufjan a lot, and
the cops are on
there. I didn't really know.
Got him.
I didn't really know, like, I just loved that song, John Wayne Gacy. Like, I liked the way it sounded, and then one time I was high, and I looked it up, and like all of a sudden, like all the lyrics started making sense.
Also, were you high and reading about the crimes?
Yes,
and the facts were flying in front of your face.
And it was,
like,
there's like some line numbers. In the song. It's like, look beneath the floorboards, like for the secrets I've hid. And that line, I was so afraid that it just lodged into my brain, and the song was stuck in my head for like months.
Dude,
I was like,
one of the reasons
escape.
That Gacy finally got caught is because with 30 rotting bodies beneath his house, he started inviting cops over for dinner because he thought that he could charm them into stopping and the investigation on him.
Oh my God.
And then at dinner, the cops were like, John, the house smells like dead bodies.
Oh my God.
We're going to get a search warrant. And John was like, there's no bodies here.
I really can't wait to watch this Peacock show, actually.
It's really
like,
so fascinating.
I need more information.
They were like, John, we can smell the bodies, dude.
Oh,
and he's like, have some dinner.
The food's delicious, but...
Didn't he have, like, a pest problem, like, as a result because of the bodies?
Well, he sprayed a bunch of limestone. Like, he poured concrete over it and then put more bodies in it. Like, he really had a system.
It's interesting to keep the bodies, like, at the house. That's
trophy,
such an interesting...
And he had a wife and kids.
Yeah,
well,
that's crazy.
Oh my God.
And
living in the house.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
Wasn't he also like, I'm not gay?
Okay, so that wife I would like to be talking to.
Well, the wife left him because the house smelled bad.
Yeah, I'm like, but how can she not know? How can she not know?
Yeah,
how do you not know?
I think she did.
She had to have.
She's probably scared of his ass.
There was also a part where he was like, everyone thinks I'm homosexual. I have no problem with homosexuals. Sometimes I do homosexual stuff, but I am bisexual.
Okay.
Oh, he was kind of a bi icon.
Yeah, okay.
Wow,
yeah.
Bi visibility.
Bi visibility. Bi people are always fucking yammering on about it. Now we've got some.
Did he... the boys that he killed, like, was it also one of the... Because I know with a lot of serial killers, it was, like, white guys that were also killing, like, people of color. And kind of exploiting the fact that people didn't...
That's like
care.
Dahmer. Dahmer was more like that. I don't think Gacy was exclusive.
Gacy was not exclusive. It was a lot of like runaways, like boys
vulnerable
that
communities.
Vulnerable.
It
was like a lot
is.
Of kids who ran away from like Minnesota because they got kicked out for being gay or something. Like he would go around to like common gay cruising spots and be like, hey, you want to smoke some weed? And they'd be like, yeah. And then he would take them home and kill.
Okay.
Them.
Yeah. You know, we should change the subject. I'm going to say one thing that I learned.
hour and a half about
we should
killers.
We should we'll change
this
the subject.
But what you're saying we
but,
do.
Yeah, this is the issue. But I did hear that there is a theory about like in the 70s and 60s of why there were so many like serial killers and crime was at its height was because of lead gasoline and also lead paint.
Whoa.
And that it's also linked to also the Middle East just stopped using lead based products. And it's like linked to crime. And like that's why people think that there was such a height in terms of serial killing.
Everyone's just waking up being like, I'm freaking out.
Have you ever listened to that podcast You're Wrong About? I'm going to send you the episode.
I'm never wrong. So
No, it's on murder. It's You're Wrong About Murder. And like police effectiveness in like solving murders.
Not very good.
They don't solve anything.
Cops don't fucking do anything, dude. It's
all
crazy.
I got to say is it's not looking good.
Also, when our friend got their car stolen, our friend Ames got their car stolen and went to the police and they were like trying to get help from the police and they were like, ugh. Like they were so
like acting
annoyed.
So inconvenienced.
They were like so inconvenienced the whole time, and it was the station where you were sent to deal with that kind of stuff. And they're
like sorry, boo. This
pretty much hope it turns out. Don't know what to tell you.
We can't.
Unless
do.
This wait. Wait, where is this from? Do you guys remember? Like, it's like someone who, like, I don't remember where this joke is from, but they were like, they thought that there was like, oh, I watched Superbad recently. And what's his name was talking about? Wait, who? Seth Rogen was talking about, he's like, I thought the cops, like, there was just semen everywhere. Like, that's how you caught everyone. And like, unless like, they're like, unless the guy like came in the car, like there's no chance of catching this guy.
It does seem like they're more interested when there was like something. Well, I guess that's just human nature.
They're so busy. They have to do it. They have to go to like rocket launcher training, and they have to like drive tanks around town.
Yeah, they have to learn how to use the military.
They have to, they have to like dress up and like they have to like go beat protesters with nightsticks. It's like they can't. They don't do anything except
that
violence. That's all they do. They don't solve crimes.
Yeah, no, they don't look. They can't even find a stolen car,
which is like the easiest thing in the world.
But on the podcast, it was like actually the murder rates have gone way down. Like
they think it's because of the lead,
and that was one of the main theories.
Isn't that fucking motherfucking crazy?
Which you know what it made me think about was I was like, oh no, I have lead in my backyard, so
you're eating it. Aren't you?
I really am interacting with it probably more than I should be.
I mean, like the thing is, it's like the lead theory is interesting, but then you're like, oh, there's still just so much violence and stuff. And it's like, what? There's going to be a theory about the internet.
It just tweaks me out how random it is, like chemical, like, and poisoning, because when you live in a city, it's like the reason that there's lead in my yard, and this is probably fucking boring, so we can.
It's because of that factory.
It's because there was like a ceramics plant. But it's like, how random is that? You know, it's just like. Life is crazy.
So Caleb, comedy, funny man.
Comedy. What about funny it? Man.
How did you, from a young age, did you know that this is what you wanted to do? How did you end up here? How did you end up on
when
this couch?
When did you first get a little giggle? When did you first do a little giggle with the group? And
I
said,
probably
and
know
said,
more
wow,
than y'all do.
Good.
So this is a catch up.
I don't.
I know. Yeah, y'all are the old friends in the circle.
I will drink some coffee and
Naomi
enjoy
invited
myself.
Me to the friend group. No, I did not want to be a comedian when I was a kid. I did like making people laugh, but there are a couple times I can think of being a kid. Like there are like stories I told or like things I did that got huge reactions from adults, like big laughs. They would like there were a couple stories that I told my mom that like she like when we would go to family events, she'd be like, tell your story. And I would, you know, like it was very that was very fun for me. I felt very important when those things happened. Which is a sick little high I chase every day of my life. But I wanted to be a lawyer. That was my big plan.
Wow.
I wanted to be a lawyer.
How come you wanted to be a lawyer?
I really just got kind of enamored with like, John Wayne Gacy.
Aaron Brockovich.
No, I got, Thurgood Marshall. I really was obsessed with, I thought he was very like, I would like read things about the civil rights movement. And I was like, I want to be a civil rights attorney. I want to be like a social justice.
That's so cute.
Katie almost lost it.
Yeah. Aww. And then, so I went to college for politics. I studied sociopolitical communication and I did that for, I never did theater or anything.
But you worked on like some campaigns.
I worked
in
politics for a while. I worked on like sexual orientation, gender identity campaigns, and also worked for Missouri's Democratic Senator at the time, Claire McCaskill.
Wow.
Being so hot right now.
Oh my God, Katie hitting on me once again. Yeah, and that's what I thought I wanted to do. And then I got really depressed my sophomore year of college. Shout out sophomore year. Everyone wants to kill themselves, I think. Yeah. And then I started doing improv, and I loved it.
Wow.
And I was like, I'm going to go try to do this for a little bit.
Sick.
But I still don't know that I'll be doing this forever. I mean, I really like comedy. It's like what I want to do right now.
Yeah.
When I think right now about the rest of my life, I'm like comedian forever. Mm-hmm. And I just started getting paid for it. So I'm like, this is great.
Yeah, ride it out.
But I don't know. I'm keeping my options open.
I think our lives will hopefully have many chapters if we're allowed to keep living. Please, God.
Please, God, let us live.
Please, God, let us live. But it is funny because, like, I mean, like, when I look at your Twitter and stuff, I'm like, okay, this person has, like, really smart, informed hot takes, mm-hmm. like, about things other than TV shows.
I do feel like that's a phenomenon that kind of came with more, I don't know if this is a true statement. I'm just going to make a statement that I don't really have anything.
No, make a false one.
Listen, we're all going to come for you, right? After you make the statement.
This is just
so.
A feeling that I have. I feel like our generation, broadly speaking, is more politically informed than previous generations, or we care more about certain things for better or for worse. And
nihilism
maybe
sucks.
We're also more... Yeah. Yeah, and maybe we're also more, like... educated, mm-hmm. I don't know, politically educated, because there was so much like political education happening even on like Tumblr and shit. So I feel like that made its way into like humor being a little bit smarter and a little bit more like referential.
When the Daily Show was so big when we were younger.
Yeah, totally. The post-war on terror, like clownery of like the world being what it is, and it being, I don't know. It just seems like, yeah, I don't know really what I'm saying. Do you understand what I do?
It's definitely more engaged. I don't know if it's necessarily more educated, because I think actually a problem that I have is that with a lot of comedians right now who do political comedy or who are
like
politically
smart
engaged,
humor or whatever.
Yeah, they want to be a lot of things more than they want to be funny.
Yeah,
they want to
sure.
be smart more than they want to be funny. Yeah. They want to be righteous. They want to be correct.
Totally. People want to be righteous more than anything.
But so many comedians, and I'm doing big air quotes right now for anybody listening, want to be anything other than funny.
Yeah.
And then call themselves comedians. And I'm like, if you just say smart things in a funny voice, that's not comedy.
Yeah.
That's just being smart in a funny voice.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
That can be its own thing.
Yeah.
But it's
and
like,
it is, and there's space for that.
Right. You have to say funny things also. It can be smart and also funny, or it can be not smart and funny, but it has to be funny at some point.
Yeah.
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 But there are so many like quote unquote comedians right now who I think just want attention, but don't really know what they want to say. They just want to like there's like, I think a lot of comics call it like clapter or like applause comedy, where you get up and you're like, basically Donald Trump is a fucking psycho, and then the audience goes yeah
yeah
and it's like
yeah.
right, but that wasn't a joke.
Yeah
you know what
did
mean?
You
totally.
Say clapter?
Clapter.
Wow.
I think maybe more maybe like the shit that I'm referencing is a little bit more like niche. I'm thinking of like a Kate Berlant or like people
yeah.
who are like people who are popular comedians who are referencing
capitalism,
like, and also like master's thesis ash
I feel like that's
shit.
I feel
but
like
it's funneled through this thing that makes it accessible to people, or I don't know, maybe
it's what's voice. It has a voice.
Yeah.
It has a relatable voice.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's like how it's. I don't know if it's like an LA thing, or it's like maybe I don't. It's
the,
feels
it is
like a specific
elite,
scene,
like
yeah,
the literati kind of
that,
shit.
That's exactly what it feels like to me.
I love LA. Like I love, there's all these little like, there's just such little cliques, and I think it's so fascinating.
LA is a wild.
It's
place.
Crazy to me that you have you even been here a year.
I've been here over a year now.
Mm. Okay,
and, what, yes. and what's
so
the
you
system?
Moved during yeah. pandemic.
Yeah, well, mostly pandemic, but like things have gone really quickly since then, and also like I was really lucky to like I got to Naomi and Allie came over for dinner several times during the pandemic, and like
it's mm-hmm. very nice.
I got to meet people during the pandemic, even which was a extremely lucky having moved to a brand new city during a global pandemic. But I have learned, I think, very quickly, kind of like, I don't know, LA is just very, it's obviously this is a sort of a nothing to say because every city is very different, but LA is just very different. Like, I feel like it's just like things out here are different, very like move at a very different pace.
And it's like, it's hard to describe because I was just on this trip with my family in the Grand Canyon where I was talking about LA to families that were from all over the nation. And I was like, it's kind of impossible to describe because it's actually just like a collection of villages. Like
yeah.
there's
totally
different energies. It's a choose your own adventure.
What's your read of LA as someone who moved here?
Yeah, I would
love
to know.
I will say as because we've
we're
been
jaded,
here
I feel
like almost 10 years.
Yeah. Well, this
and
is the 10th
Joe grew
for
up
me.
Here.
It's
yeah,
10 years.
I don't know anything else. I don't know anything else.
This
so we're three different vibes in the room.
This is the actually this is four. The one way I've been summing up LA in to people who ask. There are many, many, many things you could say about it, but this is the thing I found most interesting. Everybody in LA agrees that there's a type of LA person who exists and sucks horribly. Nobody in LA thinks that it's them and their friends. And that is what I have learned about LA.
Yeah. Oh, I would love to be told the truth.
Oh, I hate
it. I would love to be told the truth.
Well, obviously, I don't think it's you guys and your friends because you guys and your friends are like who I hang
out
with.
Yeah, that's so that's
but
the
also,
rule.
I think we wouldn't think that because we're in this group. But like, I think, you know, if other people came and come and hang out with us for a night at a party or something that didn't like know us or have a big entry point, they might leave being like, Those are the ones.
Like, that is so fucking funny.
I went to coffee with this influencer, like a big, like huge following online, like millions of people follow this person. And we went to coffee and I did not like them. I did not want to go to coffee with them, but I felt bad. And I don't care if they're listening to this. Because they hit me up and they were very much like, oh my God, as a queer content, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, okay. We went to coffee.
As a queer content myself.
As a queer content. I'm queer content. You are queer content. It was the worst 45 minutes of my life.
Oh my God. This person
is so boring and annoying.
Oh, that could be me.
No, it's not. They were so scared. The whole thing was like, yeah, I'm just really trying to like, I've got my corporation turning this profit and I'm like really trying to get invested here because like content I just know is not forever. And like, I'm just really in the queer space trying to like innovate like content. And they make the dumbest things I've ever seen in my life. And I left it being like, and but then during that conversation, this person to me was like, you have to be careful in LA. There's just a lot of like really fake and boring people. And I was like, yeah, I'm sitting with one.
Oh my God.
Like, dude, that's
Holy
you.
Right.
But he
Holy
might have thought fuck. It was me. You know what I mean? Like, that is the thing is like everyone walks around LA.
Wow, I'm
going to
steal this from you because you're really materializing. It's just a perfect way of explaining. Like, that is something that I've felt, but I haven't been able to articulate.
It's also I think the LA kind of fosters that sort of like shady mentality because I think it's so spread out that you can be like those people who live on the west side or like right. That's like this type or like whatever.
But also
you
like,
can
you
like
think so everyone in the nation
or some shit
like
know.
Everyone who's not in LA like the type of the type of person that we're thinking of right of like oh like yeah there's that one type of person in LA. Everybody else just thinks that's everyone in LA, right?
Right.
Yeah. So this is a defense, really, that we've developed being like, because we're like, yeah, well, yeah, fine, that's true. Like, those people exist, but they're not my group of friends, and they're a minority.
The thing that I would say is...
Is it just narcissists? Like, is that what we think? Is that
I'm wondering
the
if it's the straights. I'm wondering if Whoa. It's the straight people...
Who are in LA?
Who are the ones in LA?
No, but I'm saying, like, I think maybe those are the people.
I'm going to tell you who I think generally. It is, actually. I think it's people who move up from Orange County and LOL. Pretend like they're from LA when they've been here for
That's
5 years.
That's such a specific
years.
Gripe.
You know
I
what
think
I
you're
mean.
Just, you're just throwing the,
they
the
know,
whole...
But they know what I mean.
There's so
alone.
Many different...
They,
there are
well,
many,
Orange
so
County
many different
is
types,
so...
Though.
But you know what I
yeah,
mean.
Yeah, I do know what you mean. But there are other people from other places in the... Like, we were on vacation, and Louis and them run into... They ran into some people at... Like, they were going to go ATVing, and they were talking about these people who were, like, originally from, like, some other place in America, and they were talking about, like, how they're from the West Side in L.A., and they were being such douchebags. And is it people who, like... I do think it's just, like, anybody who moves to maybe West L.A. and is, like, thinking that they're cool for going and partying at the Abbey.
Yes.
Mm. For and Imagine they're straight. That.
I feel
and they're
like
straight.
We'll never be able to actually articulate like the actual group and their traits. It's always going to be somewhat amorphous. And I think the only trait that's fixed is that it's not you.
Yeah.
It's just not
and
me
that's,
and my people.
Yeah.
And
true.
That's the
but
one
But I would
thing.
Also say, wow, you're really turning my gears.
Wow.
Katie continues to hit on me.
Wow. Katie just went over and licked his foot.
No, Katie.
kissy.
Katie does.
I like
her pupils will
things.
Dilate when people are being smart around
yeah.
her.
I do think there's the one trait that when I think of the LA people that I'm not a part of that I don't like that is specific to LA, there's an unironic self-obsession that exists in like with certain people where it's like, I am self-obsessed to the extent that I want to have a career in entertainment, and that obviously involves a level of narcissism.
Yeah.
100.
But it's self-aware. It's ironic when I do. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
But again,
I have
that's
a question
like,
about that.
But I think that. You know what I mean? I think sure. that I have a healthy relationship with myself and my public persona and my career and whatever.
My body and soul.
Those people might think that as well. You know what I mean? Totally. Like, that's why it's never you and your friends. It's always the other people.
Holy shit. You know?
It's a trip.
How do you deal with, like, needing to, like, take pictures of yourself and like post videos like being places and have stuff on your social media? Like, is that just something that you see as, okay, this is a necessary thing for my career?
Yeah, I mean, I only started doing internet videos because I didn't get a job, a comedy job that I wanted, and they told me I should. I don't like doing internet videos, really. I mean, there's sometimes that it's fun and I think of a good idea and I think this is a good time,
uh-huh.
but I don't really want to do them that much. I don't like there's something like I like posting on Instagram. I think it's really funny to come up with a deranged caption for a picture of me and my friends. I like tweeting
I love your
stuff.
Captions.
Yeah, totally.
But like, I don't really want to put out a new video every week being like, this is the guy at the coffee shop who everyone hates. Like, that's not really as much fun to me.
Yeah.
But I think I do recognize it as necessary. It did get me a career sort of overnight that I wouldn't have had otherwise.
Right. It's interesting to hear you say it because I do see it as a little bit of a public service because they're good.
But I think you're
doing something nice.
I think you can tell, and this is kind of my philosophy with just like my relationship with social media in general is like, if you don't want to be doing something and you're doing it, I feel like your audience can tell.
It feels
that.
Bad for everyone.
And so you have to figure out like a relationship that feels. It's either you don't do it because you don't fucking want to do it, and you do it when you want to do it, and people will be happy when you do it.
What?
Or you figure out a different kind of relationship to creating that kind of forward facing like stuff.
Do we know anyone who really likes it?
No.
But it's just funny how it's all this
I
whole
like
thing
Twitter,
that we interact
but
with. Yeah,
I like Twitter for sure.
The funny thing to me about talking to people who is I've had long conversations with numerous people who have like millions and millions of followers on social media and it is their sole job. Internet content is not my sole job. So I feel healthy about detaching from it and being like, I think my stuff is good and I like it because I only put stuff out when I want to and I don't feel the pressure to be like every week a video.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah.
So I hope that the people who follow me go, oh, we appreciate that he doesn't do it every day. He does it when he actually wants us to see something.
Yeah.
But I talk to these people who have millions and millions of followers online and content creation is their job and they are massively depressed.
For
they
sure.
are so unhappy. They do not like it. Their followers make them feel bad. They don't enjoy it at all. And I think I don't want to do that.
That it's crazy.
Yeah, that sounds
followers
really bad.
Make someone feel bad. Like that's really a crazy thing to me where it's like, you're not doing, it's like,
what does that look like? Like they're saying they're giving them negative feedback.
I'm lucky. Most of the people who follow me are very nice to me or just don't engage.
We're lucky with that too.
Even people who like me sometimes go way too far and like message me, have messaged me pictures of myself standing at a coffee shop or because they saw me or will like joke, like think they're joking along with me and like be mean to me as a bit on the internet.
Not funny.
And I'm like, that's not actually our relationship. You don't know me.
No. Yeah.
But so it's very rare, but I understand what they mean. Like when you have millions and millions of followers, a lot of your comments are not even people who love you. They followed you because they got on the platform and you're one of the people to follow on the platform to have a good time.
Yeah.
And so they follow you and comment on all your stuff because they think they're participating in this platform by doing it. And they're saying stuff that like, even stuff if they're not trying to be mean, they say something about you that is a perception of yourself that you didn't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like they'll be like I remember one of the first times that someone that I had a video go viral and people were commenting on like how fat I looked and I was like, I know I'm fat, but when I made this video and watched it back, I wasn't even thinking that. Because I'm so I know what I look like.
Yeah.
And then people say that back to you and you're like, oh, fuck, it's very jarring to have people perceive you so
I hate
directly.
I hate it more than
anything.
Do you
remember like when you were going through that? And I'm asking because I've had my own experience of this like with it was comments on a YouTube video about my face.
Yeah.
But it was like, I'm curious, like, did that affect you for like a period of time?
This
like,
happened
was it
with
like
the TikTok I posted too.
Really?
Oh,
I'm
yeah,
sorry to
dude.
Hear that, dude. I didn't know about
oh,
that.
Oh yeah, dude.
The non-binary one, the waiter.
Yeah.
God, that's
where
so
people just
funny.
Commenting.
Thank you so much.
Commenting.
Yeah.
Things.
Perfect
people,
example, by the way, of you
commenting.
Posting something that you just wanted to post.
Exactly. That's what I mean. It's like I don't think when like people who are in the industry are like, you got to be posted every week. You got to be posted. If you engage with the content, feed the machine.
Yeah.
Like I don't think that actually works.
Yeah.
I think whenever I remember that, like that was the conversation that we were having for a certain period of time. And then like when we did the thing, we wiped our feed. We posted the picture at the start of the second round cycle.
Likes.
It went fucking crazy. And I was like, I fucking told you that. Anyway, people were talking shit on the stupid TikTok
what
that I posted
saying?
To be just an idiot and have fun because I thought I was doing the bit for Allie. And I was just like, she's not enjoying this as much as TikTok would. So I just did it. But yeah, people just being just people just saying people saying mean things about non-binary people being thinking like, well, what do you fucking expect when you look like the way you look and yada yada and like all this shit. I mean, people just being dicks and it's like fine.
And saying mean things
what?
About queer people
what?
Is just only like funny when we do it in private.
Yeah, exactly. You know what? That
being
is
for the group chat.
And being you know.
Why are people like that though, man? I really don't get it to my core.
It's also a good way of describing it. It's like, it's a mind fuck when you
people go crazy.
You start to think like, oh, when I walk through the world, like, is this what everyone else is thinking all the time? Like, that was just very paralyzing for me. But also that was, like, the platform of YouTube.com.
Well, when we got put on the front page of YouTube, and then all the incels come out
of nowhere. Like, I think the incels, you know, on Reddit, like, came over to the I Know a Place music video, like, in hordes, but they were just, like, telling me that I need to get plastic surgery on my face. And it was, like, fucking... It was a time. But I think it's like, it is part of, gosh, I actually don't know if I want to say this. I don't want it to be a price that we have to pay to, like, have a public facing career. I would just like it to not happen at all.
But why
do
people
think it's
do
like,
it?
I do think it's an interesting spiritual journey. And I'm not saying that ironically, even though it's maybe cringe, but it's like, I have really had to learn, like, okay, maybe that's what was commented on it, but, like, I don't have to act like that's the reality. And
it is not the reality. Let me tell you something.
Even though it does get lodged, it gets lodged into the body.
Oh my God, then, totally. Yeah. Things also, it's like, why do people, it's like, it's the same as, like, childhood trauma. Like, certain things that were said to me as a kid, it's like, anytime I think about anything, it's like, whoosh. It's the first thing that's how it sounds in my mind. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just interesting. Why do people do that still, though? It's like, I genuinely don't understand. What do they get? What do you get from being mean to someone online? Or thinking that it's your right to?
It's also a situation where, I don't know if you guys feel this, but I feel that I am almost not allowed to complain about any of this because it is the price of visibility.
Right. Yeah.
And it's like, when I was first starting out in comedy in Chicago, really Chicago, the reason it's the best comedy scene in the country, and it is because if you are funny in Chicago, you will have fun. Like, people will put you on shows. You will have a good time. You will meet cool people. Nothing's a meritocracy, but it is. If you're funny in Chicago, you will find your place and your people. But I didn't think about the way that I looked really that much at all, or, like, have that many people perceiving me. Like, I really was just doing small shows for nobody. And it was great, but it wasn't what I wanted. And it would,
totally.
I had to have a day job. I wasn't getting paid anything.
Right,
totally.
Sure.
And then things change, and you get visibility, and you get all this stuff. And now you're submitting more self-tapes because you have a team, and you have people looking at you online, and you're doing more shows. And now all of a sudden people are looking at you constantly and giving feedback on not even just your looks, who they think you are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you're like, whoa, I don't see myself the way that these thousands and thousands of people are going to see me, because they could never get the view of you that you have of yourself.
It's the thing that I find the hardest about what we do, which is why I, like, kind of don't go on social media. But it's just like, there's something wrong about the reflection of the audience. I do think there's something that is wrong about that, about social media. There's something evil.
I do think it's interesting, because it's like, it is, you hate to think about it as, like, the price you pay for access in a system that, like, doesn't want people to win, where, like, people, you know, the audience, the masses can sort of rise up and push for the things that they want,
mm-hmm.
feed the algorithm
mm-hmm.
in the way that promotes certain things that maybe wouldn't have, like, I don't know, for music, even, like, they can push for a song to be on the radio that would have never been on the radio 10 years ago. And they can push for people who, like, wouldn't have gotten a TV deal to get, like, a script deal or some shit like
kind
that. Because,
amazing.
Like, yeah, and that is amazing in that way. And then it's like, but people are also such little devils, little evil fuckers online.
Let me start by saying this show, Gaiotic, is sponsored by BetterHelp.
How are you guys doing right now? Speaking of BetterHelp.
Not
in.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, you know, living in the world as we're experiencing it now can often be, you know, at times you'll feel elated and at other times you'll feel very depressed. And I think we oscillate between those two emotions frequently. And
absolutely.
It's hard to do that by yourself.
Definitely.
Well, that's why it's so nice to have a therapist that you can talk to help bring you back to what you care about in life, or just talk about, you know, the everyday problems of existence.
Yeah.
You know?
We are very pro therapy as a band. I'm also pro, like, getting help where you can find it. And what I love about BetterHelp is how accessible it is for people to try. I have a lot of friends where BetterHelp was, like, the first therapist that they
I was going to mention a friend
found.
Of ours
yeah.
who had a BetterHelp, who found his therapist through BetterHelp as an individual that travels quite a bit and
mm-hmm.
needed to be able to do it over the phone. And yeah, it's like starting therapy can be a lot like starting to date and mm-hmm. it makes you feel very nervous, and you do have to find the right person, and mm-hmm. BetterHelp can, you know, kind of facilitate that process a little bit.
Definitely. So we encourage all y'all to visit betterhelp.com/chaotic today, and you can get 10% off of your first month. That's betterhelp.com/chaotic. Go to therapy, y'all. Go,
please,
you're listening
get
help. Chaotic, go to therapy.
Put the podcast down and get help with BetterHelp.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I was just watching the David Geffen documentary. Mm-hmm. Have you guys seen it on Netflix? There was one part that they were talking about where, like, he has a fascinating career. I'm fascinated by him. But there was one part where, like, he was on – maybe they had signed Guns N' – he had so many record companies. I think this would have been Geffen Records, okay. Which would have been his second or third. And one of his A&R people had signed Guns N' Roses. Mm-hmm. And they had been developing them for, like, 2 years. Mm. And they put out an album that only had, like, 200,000 sales. Like, they could not get the album to go where they wanted it to.
Yeah.
And one of the guys at Geffen's company was like, if you get this band on MTV, they will blow the fuck up. We will get them where we want them. And so Geffen calls MTV and is like, just put them on at 4 a.m. No one's watching anyway. Let's just see if it'll even give a bump. I need to know if these guys are worth. They put it on at 4 a.m. People blow up MTV's phone lines in a way that had never happened until then.
Oh, my gosh.
And then Guns N' Roses is Guns N' Roses. It fucking blows up. They explode. And it's like, just because they got this 4 a.m. slot on MTV, and because if people hadn't called in, it wouldn't have gone anywhere.
Not me also getting chills at that.
It
story.
Does make my heart go pitter-patter.
There's
it's
something
crazy.
Special about
it's interesting.
That kind of
thing. Yeah. Whenever you hear about somebody's career or a band's career where it's like they weren't that band until they're that. Any story that's going to end with, and then they're Guns N' Roses.
Have you seen, I'll tell a good story that is kind of like that okay. I heard. Have you seen the movie Drop Dead Gorgeous?
No. We were just talking about that.
It's a kind of Christopher Guest-esque documentary it's like a comedy about beauty these pageant. Murders that keep happening at a beauty pageant in a rural town. And it's like Kirsten Dunst, Amy Adams, Denise Richards, Kirstie Alley, like all these people in the 90s, like early on in a lot of their careers. And apparently, Amy Adams was a local hire for the movie. And Kirstie Alley was like, and she's, Amy Adams has like a small part, but she's fucking hilarious. And she's so good. And Kirstie Alley was like, you got to move to LA. And then Amy Adams.
And then it's Amy Adams.
She was the one who told her, Scientologist.
You know what's crazy? You know, chills. I don't even care about Amy Adams.
But isn't that a cool story?
Yeah. I do get the chills.
It's like you kind of, you know, that's she might not have had that opportunity. You might not have been told that she should do that.
Dumb, but you that's have the to cool thing about too. TikTok.
TikTok!
Even though I don't even think, I don't, even though I was on TikTok for the first time last night, Kelly and I were watching. It's just interesting that so many more people are getting the chance to be Amy Adams in that story.
True.
Yeah. Well,
everything's so like nicheified now too, where it's like, I don't think that we're gonna have
another Guns N' Roses.
Universal stars. Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah.
Zero.
No. Yeah. No, definitely.
Because you think about like the kids on TikTok who are fucking like mega, like the TikTok people, like Addison Rae, Bryce Hall, Noah, whoever, all those people, the D'Amelio sisters. Most people in the country don't know who they are.
I don't.
Yeah, and nobody.
It's very Warholian. Like I do think that we're kind of getting into this system where the ceiling is lower for stardom.
Maybe that's like, cool because it actually cool makes well. it makes it so much more attainable.
I mean, I'm actually very much in like the death to celebrity camp. I think it's not helpful for anyone involved.
Well, because I agree.
To really see that, really believe that somebody else has something magic in them that you don't have in yourself.
It's called money.
This person I follow on Twitter, this is something that just came to my mind about celebrity and I guess the lack of celebrity. This person that I follow called at Queer Socialism, they're very, very smart and they also sometimes tweet funny things. And they tweeted something of like, a joke about like the socialist reality of the future of like musicians having to like earn their keep by the by the sheer quality of the music itself. They would have to like go in front of a board and present the music based on the quality and not based on the celebrity. And you think of like all the people who would not have careers if it was just the quality of the music.
Wow,
like,
what a radical
that would be so
the cool. Imagining of the future.
You know what I mean?
But also, how do you?
They were also joking.
Quality.
I would be in charge.
Caleb.
I'm the arbiter. And also, yeah. I think
that's fair.
By the way, I just want to say either death to celebrity, we get rid of the concept, or if we aren't going to do that, I need to be one of the most famous people to ever live.
Cute.
I think yeah. it's one or yeah. the other.
It's one yeah. or it's just Caleb.
Yeah, we can't keep one celebrity and not
Caleb.
Have me be one. Right? Like, yeah. I have to be.
And to be clear, yeah, I totally that with that, and I would yeah. just add Muna as well.
I would right. agree with that.
That's the celebrity unless circle. We get really famous.
Yeah.
And then I think we can keep it.
I wish there was a way.
Because we deserve it.
Jo's rolling her eyes right now.
I'm more like, I don't know if I want to be famous. I would love
money
more stability in our career and the ability to do what we want to do.
I think so,
but I think that's the only yeah I think that's the only thing that actually is just the truth.
So get ready
music.
To clown on the clown stage,
right? Yeah, thank God. I'm
but
a dirty
I was thinking
hole
about
it.
Like this issue of like being verbally abused online or get like having your sense of self fucked with.
Awesome.
And it honestly goes both ways. Like if someone's like gassing you up in a crazy way, or if you have fans, I'm sure you've experienced that too, where it's like, this is kind of weird. Like I have a feeling of like you have me on a pedestal.
Oh, it feels completely unwarranted.
It's weird.
I've really had to work on it.
So it's like either way, I feel like the antidote is like having like a robust community of artists and friends like around you, that because you actually do need to know if you're doing good shit, you know.
Well, and I'll also say that's the cure. Like the reason yeah. I like social media, I like my Twitter followers. Mm-hmm. I like getting on Twitter and firing off some
thank
jokes.
Thank you
guys for all your love. No, but I really don't. It doesn't depress me. I yeah. feel yeah. mostly good about it. The only thing that makes me stressed about it is the expectation that I should do something other than what I am doing, which is I post when I want to, I post what I want to. It is not my main source of income, or really even most of the time a source of income for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel good about it. And the reason is because when I don't want to do anything on it, I don't, and I just hang out with my cool friends and I don't think about it. Though what stresses me out is the idea that I could be making a lot more money if I if I wanted to invest in TikTok and actually put out videos every day. I could build a big following there. I could continue doing that on Twitter and Instagram. I could monetize it and make that into money and be making a lot more money than I make doing the stuff I do now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to do that, so I don't. But the only thing that stresses me out is thinking like, well, what if the rest of this dries up and I don't write for TV anymore and I don't sell out live shows?
So what stresses you out is imagining really stressful situations.
Yeah, imagining a world where I have to go and do that, and I feel dumb that I didn't
invest
build
in
that
it.
Infrastructure.
Yeah, yeah, I understand that feeling.
Yeah, we probably relate.
But
to
I think
that
all artists have that because our money is so based on the changing of the tide. It's so mm-hmm. precarious
mm-hmm.
that like you're really doing well for a minute and then all of a sudden you don't work for 2 or 3 months and you're
right.
like, wait a minute. You're like, what's going
on here?
But
I'm starting to see like with us as musicians, like I think we are always like working pretty hard on music, and there's such a tremendous lag time actually between like what you're working on and like when you see the fruit of it
yeah.
in a way. So
yeah,
it's
we were
like,
talking about that the other day.
Yeah.
I think it's very true.
It's kind of hard to see the overall arc, but now that we've been doing it for long enough, I'm like, I understand that there is a correlation between whatever we're doing on a day-to-day basis and the choices we're making in a studio and like the way that our career blossoms or our stability and security. It's like, I do think that, yeah, there's a correlation. It's just really wonky. And you have to like
for
have
sure.
other ways of balancing yourself out.
That's also a hard thing about mental health in general that I want to like when I think about my there's so much mental but there's so much like mental shit in my family that when I think about my little cousins and I'm like, okay, how am I going to make sure that they are not psychopaths? And I'm like, oh, well, one of the only ways that I got mentally healthy was to have what you're talking about, which is like a track record of knowing how things go, not just
yeah.
in career, but like you have to go through a certain amount of bad times to see the full arc of them from the other side and go,
right,
that was really bad. I wanted to die. Then it got better and went away and everything was really good. And then a different thing got really bad and I wanted to die.
Oh my
and you
God.
Have to like have this huge track record to look back on. And by the time maybe when you're 24, 5, 26, and maybe if you maybe you're lucky enough to go, okay, now I have a bit of an understanding about how this can get better.
I know.
But when you're like 19 and you're like depressed for the first time, you're like, what am I gonna, you know what I mean? You're like, this is awful, you know what I mean?
But you know what's so fucked? Yeah. You cannot communicate that to a young person.
No, you can only say, it gets better.
It's like so crazy.
It gets better campaign owes me money.
Yeah,
it does. I like the hip new
it gets different.
It gets
different.
Have
you heard that?
It do get different.
Hey, it might not get better, but it'll get different. Said with a wink.
And by that I mean it's gonna get worse.
But you'll be better at it. Or the people that are now doing, it doesn't get better, you get better.
That's another one
that's like people are trying to like flip it and be like,
they're like,
actually,
so the onus is on you, and if it's not getting better, it's your fault.
It's you.
That's like it's like the littering campaign of like the 1980s
where they had a instead white man like dressed up in Native American garb being like, please stop littering.
No, yeah.
Oh, it makes me sad. And he's like a white man.
Idea instead insane. Of actually changing the world, like it's actually change impossible. Yourself. Yeah. Well, it's like our last
that.
Record.
Yeah. That was the problematic spin on the last record, I would say.
Yeah, but I mean, like, the
did
thing
you
is...
make that spin up or did anyone make that? You made
I
that.
I made that up, yeah. I made that up.
The takedown.
But I'm always thinking about what's problematic about myself.
The takedown of the second record that I made up is actually this.
If anyone wants to use this to take us down.
It's actually not helpful. It's ultimately a huge
waste
of energy.
Now it's definitely both, because it's like you want to be a good consumer and you want to be a good person.
You want to talk about gay shame? Listen to this. This is kind of sad. You guys had to promise not to react.
We
sad
can
to
tell
it,
some
though.
Of our
oh,
sad.
We can say
how,
some sad stuff,
what are
too.
The boundaries around our reactions? Like,
you can't, like...
What do you,
you
not want?
You this is what you can't do. You can't go... Oh,
okay.
I can't.
I gotta be honest. I can't promise that. It's a genetic thing.
The easiest thing to promise.
Can
in
we
the
say
world.
That must have been hard for you?
I think
that's
that might
actually,
be worse.
To be honest, that does sound
that
worse.
That might be worse than all.
That
the,
does sound worse.
Naomi has a hand up. Naomi, how can we help you?
Up? That's the alt.
The alt question is:
can we laugh?
There's the gay. There's the gay.
Always.
There's the gay shame thing question,
okay.
And then there's the. Oh no, feeling that you suppress. So like when you
when
have
you realize
the,
you were
when
gay.
You were like, oh no, oh, this has happened to me. It happened to me like three times in my young life, but I remember a few specific times of being like,
oh no,
fuck. And then you like, yeah, I'm not gonna think about that right now. And then you shove it for like years.
Have all of these. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm excited.
I'll do them sequentially.
Okay,
yes, okay, cute.
Gay shame. The first time it wasn't the first time I hooked up with a guy, but in high school there was a friend of mine who. I thought for certain was giving me vibes. I was like, this guy's giving me vibes. He was very hetero, but I was like, it just feels like there's something going on here. And so one time I was like, I should come over and we should play video games. I did. We like, whatever. We found some stupid thing to fight about and decided we were going to wrestle. And it turned into like, it turned sexual pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Where there was like some things going on and we started to mess around and I knew I was gay. Still to this day do not think that he is, honestly. We did end up hooking up for a couple of years. But he...
Do you think he's queer?
I don't think so. I think... I think
some people...
You think he was just like touch, feel good? Yeah.
I think horny. Just horny.
Yeah, horny.
And like,
totally.
I mean, he was very masked at the time. But I don't know. We haven't kept in touch. And I don't want to say much more about him because I don't want to out him. But I don't know what his deal is. I know he has hooked up with other guys. So here's what happens. He and I start messing around and I... was very into me. He's my friend. I like him as a person. I was like, maybe we'll date or something. Like I was like very, like there was more to it than just like wanting to have this hookup.
Right.
And so I went to kiss him and he was like, no, like got like, was like,
oh,
was
Jesus.
Like, don't do that. I was like, I got mad.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and I
but
was
still,
like,
did they still want to continue the
we
other
still
stuff?
Hooked up, but he was like, no kissing. He was like, I'm not into that.
Whoa.
So we hooked up. And it was fun, and we were.
Some people would be very into that specifically.
I mean, it God, there's
that's the pain of it all.
Yeah, there's a part of it that is hot.
Yeah,
especially at the time,
but so painful
because it is such a secret, and it makes it more of a secret. But then it is also like, well, I wanted it to be more than that. I would have liked to have kissed you.
Yeah,
and I just feel so, especially looking back on it, I'm like, oh, undoubtedly that being one of my formative sexual experiences. I mean, we were just before the recording talking about me hooking up with a closeted guy. And that being a formative sexual experience for you has to cause
100%.
I feel like that's
completely
such a
relate
gay,
to this.
I'm not okay. Maybe it's just different from my experience. Of,
oh, I feel like what you're
being,
about to say is so true.
I feel like it's gay men. Like there's something about like not kissing and like doing things with like straight or like closeted people, and it's fine if you're not kissing.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny because the straights also love like you know the emotionally unavailable like. Love to chase like the person who you can't get, but when you are gay, there's like a different category of that that's available to you.
Right.
because you can like be with someone who's in the closet or be with someone who's straight.
I totally relate to that experience. And I think this is like part of why I normally date people who I would describe as being straight passing.
Yeah.
Like,
thank you.
You're
thank
welcome.
You.
Thank you. You're welcome, Kitty. Femme pride. But I think there is like
femmes matter.
Femmes matter, guys. You guys matter. So
femmes
much.
Definitely matter.
That was somehow sexist, actually.
Yeah, that was sexist, yeah, I will say. Not for me, but from the other people in the room.
Sorry, Joe. You've been
but
sorry,
like,
Joe, it's
but like,
I am so sexist.
The kinds of intimacy that are available to people who are like girls or whatever, or like I wasn't even at the time, but like you can get access as someone who's not a boy necessarily to certain kinds of intimacy with girls that are very homosocial and also fully acceptable, and nobody thinks it's weird at all.
Yeah.
So like holding hands,
yeah,
kissing, hugging, you can do all that with your quote unquote friends, and it's
which
like
is
not
a really
weird.
Normal like
but it
human
is,
need to
when
to
you
have
gay,
those types
it
of
weird
things.
Like yeah. Yeah.
When it gay,
and then I think
weird.
It does make you want people who are like harder to get, or it makes you like
follow
not
up. I don't know. I have a follow up
I relate
question.
To this.
Did you know? And you don't have to answer. Did you know at the time, like, that you did want, like, to do those cuter things with him, like that you would that you
for sure.
Okay,
for
so
sure.
It
this
wasn't
was past
like
my praying the gay away phase.
Okay,
this is a point, and this is like this. I'm probably like 17 at this time,
right?
And I definitely was like very jealous of my girlfriends who were dating boys.
Mm-hmm.
I was
yeah.
very jealous of
same,
the whole thing.
For the
I wanted
other
to
reason.
Go to dances together. Well, yeah. I wanted to do the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely, at this point I was like, this was the point, there was praying the gay away for a long time.
Have you listened to the new Lucy Dacus record?
Yes.
Okay, so you know the song Brando, where there's a line in the first verse that's like, you called me cerebral, something, something. And then she just says, would it have killed you to call me pretty? And I feel like that's just like,
whoa.
It's such a, like,
ooh, pain.
It's just like the synopsis.
Pain.
It's just like, we just all, like, and I just finished this book too, where there's like, this woman just goes through hell, and then at the end of it, her like downstairs neighbor is a guy, and she just describes a really simple interaction where they have where he just looks at her and he's like, you're really pretty.
Yeah.
And it's like there's something about like that word that I think is it's on the mood board of like getting a kiss on the lips, like snuggling, like holding hands, just like
it's feeling loved.
That stuff of like I just want to be
affirmed.
Yeah, I want that.
Now
you know?
There's something inside me that rejects that wholeheartedly. Like that.
Well,
kind
I think
of
it's
nice,
because
someone being
you know,
nice.
But
nice.
I think it's from
it hurts.
It's because it's like, of having. It's
yeah.
because of having the experience
it's
affirmed
painful.
To you
yeah.
as a child or
like
as a young person.
Wanted,
that yeah,
way.
Yeah. It because you had the opposite
totally.
Of that shown to you.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
those
yeah.
formative years, yeah. at least in my opinion.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're right.
I think what's amazing is that you were able to hold on to like the concept that you even wanted that. Cause I think I went through experiences where like that was off the table. And then I like was kind of like, yeah, cool. Like, I don't even like that. Like, I prefer to be treated like a bag of trash. Like, and
oh, well, sexually. Yeah. Sexually, there's certainly a part of that. I think that's the difficulty though, is that romantically I am very attracted to, like romantically I am very attracted to people Katie I'm into you also that I am like
just smiling
that I like as people.
I'm like, what is he gonna say?
Stop, I'm maniacally
quit,
smiling
literally quit. But I am romantically attracted to people who are nice and funny and interesting and that I would be friends with and that I would want to spend time with and but then sexually I think I am more into like I love hooking up with a closeted guy.
Yeah.
I love hooking up with someone who does not intend to be nice to me. Like, who does not intend to speak to me again.
It just, I'll just go on record and say it's hot.
It's
just
hot.
Is hot. Yeah. Sorry,
everyone
but.
Everyone's like that. It's
I think everyone's like that.
Why?
And
what's
that's like one
us?
Of the dichotomies. That's like the burden that we bear as human beings. So confusing. Why?
I genuinely don't get it, but it's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
It is the truth. It is
the
human
truth.
So anyway, that is the phase of life where I was like, I know I'm gay. Someday I will have this. It's not here and now. I will not be out right now. I'm not going to come out in my hometown. I'm going to wait until college.
Yeah.
But this was the point where I was like, I've made peace with it internally.
Right.
I'm just waiting. I'm mapping out my plan, how I'm going to do it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that was that period.
Where you were also, I know you want to hear about the pray away
yeah,
the gay.
Yeah.
And after that, I want to hear,
hear
about your time in a frat.
I was in a fraternity in college.
Yeah. What
were you
frat?
Out yet?
What frat?
Phi Gamma Delta, Fiji.
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 For how long? The whole time?
All 4 years.
Holy fuck, dude. Were you out?
So I went to college and I rushed a fraternity kind of as a joke, kind of not. Like, it was, I wanted to go to law school.
I wish I had rushed a frat.
Come on.
We would have been lit. Sammy would have been crazy.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. I rushed partially as a joke because I was like, wouldn't it be funny if I rushed a frat with these douchebags? But then also I was like, I do want to go to law school and there's really good connections in this. So I was like, okay. So I rushed and most of them were horrible. But then there was these two fraternities that I was like, these guys are actually really cool. They're like nice guys.
Yeah.
And one of them was the one I ended up joining where like they were really like, they're like, yeah, we just like, we hang out, we have good parties. We like help people get good grades. We do community service, whatever. And I was like, this sounds cool. And they had a great house, which like you live in your sophomore year. You have to live in the dorms your freshman year. And then sophomore year, you can either live in the dorms again or you can live in a fraternity sorority house.
Mm.
So that was a really good option.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was like, okay, cool. So I joined it and, you know, some of the guys were great and are still some of my closest friends. I'm going to see some of them this week when I go home.
Sick.
I love those guys. They're really great. And some of them are fucking assholes and I'll never talk to them again. I didn't like them then and I don't like them now. And we know who we are.
Powerful.
But we were in the same organization and it was interesting. I mean, I learned a lot about myself and other people. By my junior year, I came out after my freshman year. Mostly no one cared. Most of the guys were really cool about it.
Yeah. Mm.
Some guys like quietly had problems with it, but knew better than to say something.
Yeah.
Isn't that a crazy thing?
You know what? I'll kick their ass.
They knew. They didn't want it with me. Those guys didn't want it with me.
No
they knew
way.
Because I also was like in charge of, like I was like the pledge. I was the pledge educator. I was like, I was also just like, they knew I would cause trouble. If someone said something to me, I would get them kicked out.
If they did want it, they were going to get it.
Yeah, I was like, if you want it, you can have it. So,
I don't want it.
And there were a bunch of closeted guys in my fraternity who are now out. And the
sick.
Did you hook up with them?
None in my chapter. Okay. I wouldn't have done that. That would have been too messy. But
okay.
The fucked up, disgusting, horrible thing is that these guys who were in the closet so much longer than me are now all of them, I think, in like healthy, loving relationships.
Oh,
and I've been out of the closet so much longer than them and I'm still out here like, we will see. You know, like I'm so disgusted. Like they came out after college and then within a year we're in like long-term beautiful relationships.
Very lesbian of them.
It is very lesbian.
God.
Where are you,
God? Maybe not like healthy always, I guess, the lesbians. No, I hear the craziest stories.
I love lesbians.
Yeah. I mean, also, it's like, you know, depending on healthy, based on what? Based on what information are you
based
are
on that
seeing?
Instagram post, baby. They look great. Yeah.
They look like they're having fun. Okay, so healthy is a projection, but I mean, they're in at least committed relationships that they seem to be enjoying.
And they be posting.
We can not find that. So
you're special. I have a couple of friends where it's like I say this about myself, honey, when I'm talking to myself in the mirror being like, it's fine. I just think that it's sometimes it's like they're just less people that can actually meet you where you are.
Some people don't have
That's
a billionaire mindset
think.
Or
a billionaire
trineset.
Yeah, hopefully I'm not being delusional, but like that's what I think. Like in my own situation, I'm like,
people
I just
sitting on a couch.
Interesting.
It's kind of weird that we just ended up
that's
here.
So crazy.
No, this bit is.
I'm gonna carry it on until
no,
the day we die.
No, it needs to keep
until
going.
Until the day we die.
We're gonna make it. We're gonna really drown it out.
We're gonna get Muna fans to ship us.
I don't know. Is it okay to talk about Louis and his relationship on this? Because I just want to, because Louis was single for a long time, but it's like, he's a special dude. So I feel like it's like, it takes a minute to find someone
who's
actually
a match.
Who the
fuck is Louis?
Louis's my brother, who's a homosexual.
Have you never met Louis?
No.
No, my brother's a homosexual as well.
In a new relationship.
But it's taken him a long time.
The
I know.
Parents.
I know.
Poor
something is wrong with that womb. Sorry, Mom. She actually not allowed to listen to this.
But have you
so.
Never been in a, like a long term, what's the longest relationship?
Oh, like. 2 months.
That's like my brother until like now, and he's about to be 30. So there, it's not uncommon.
I like to believe it's going to change. I like to believe I'm capable of commitment. My parents certainly fucked me up. They both are horrible with commitment.
Yeah,
common.
And I also think I was really serious about school when I was in college, which is sort of sounds dorky, but it's how I was. And then when I got to Chicago, it was all about comedy. I mean, I was literally working like between my day job and comedy, like 16, 17 hour days every single day for 3 years.
Grinding.
True. I mean, truly, which is like such a disgusting, like I was grinding and hustling.
I was grinding and hustling.
Yeah.
But I was. And so I didn't really think about anybody that I was even kind of remotely interested in. I was like, I would
you
never miss a show to hang out with you.
Yeah.
There's no chance.
Were you fucking on the.
Yeah, I'm always hooking up.
I'm
like,
always
fucking. Come on, Katie.
Well, that's another part of the problem is I have said for a long time that something that scares me about my ability to be in a long-term loving relationship is that I have such beautiful friendships, and I'm so lucky to have amazing friends who make me feel very whole and loved and wanted and special. Mm-hmm. And I love spending all my time with, you guys are included in this. Aww. And I love spending all my time with my friends. Ah. And then I just, you know, when I go home, I'll get on Grindr, find a guy to hook up with, and now I've had sex and I have everything I need.
But I do think it is harder, and maybe I am wrong, and maybe this is based on like my brother's experience. I think because of like apps like Grindr, it is so much easier for gay men to continue with, and I'm not saying it's a way or it isn't a way. I just think it's harder to find someone else who wants to also be in a relationship, who's someone that you're attracted to, because of also like how the I do think there's a culture.
There's a hookup culture that makes monogamy difficult. There's a massive amount, particularly among gay men, with commitment and emotion. There's a massive amount of undealt with trauma.
Yeah.
And there's also another thing that I have to deal with is that there's a massive amount of fat phobia in the gay community. Sure. Mm-hmm. That makes it like people who should not even feel comfortable saying a word to me will talk to me sideways, will be like, people, like I'm saying, like people who are boring, uninteresting, not nice gay men, but
nothing
they are
going
thin,
for them at
nothing
all.
Going for them, nothing at all, not interesting, nothing going on, but because they are thin, think they can talk sideways to me, somebody who's amazing.
Oh, fuck that.
And it is very prevalent in the gay community, and I find it shocking because I'm so much cooler than these losers.
Do you find it to be fact. Do you it's find facts. It to be worse in LA?
Yeah, yes. I was gonna ask you.
Yes, 100% unequivocally, no doubt about it. Anybody who says otherwise is an idiot. LA, the body shame in LA,
it's crazy,
is so fucking insanely through the roof. If you spend more than an hour in this city and you're from somewhere else, mm-hmm. like I'm from the Midwest. I spent a lot of time in Chicago. Mm-hmm. I've never been made to feel worse about my body than on dating apps in LA.
Ugh.
It is wildly different. And that's not to say that everyone, I'm not even saying that everyone, I'm not saying it's a problem. I have a lot of problem with fat phobia discourse because people a lot of times will take it to the extent that you have to be attracted to fat people or you're fat phobic. I don't think that. I don't think you have to be attracted to me or you're fat phobic. That's not what I'm talking about. Not being attracted to me is not an issue. That's your own problem. I'm hot. The problem is fat phobia is the way that you're willing to talk to a fat person who you don't know compared to a thin person that you wouldn't act that way with, the way that you talk about fat bodies around your friends and on social media, the ways that you write your bio. And it's changed, of course, because gay men got dragged for doing the no fats, no femmes, no Asians thing,
what
no
the
blacks.
Fuck?
There's a lot of racism and size problems in the gay community.
Like, just completely.
Like, I didn't know that
open.
That was.
Like, that was the tagline.
They would say that.
I didn't know that was a thing.
No fats,
people
no femmes,
just
no
want
Asians.
To date a boring white goy, you know, like a fucking loser.
I just watched the season of RuPaul's Drag Race with Kimchi in it. Mm. I don't know if you watched Drag Race, but Kimchi
Holy
was.
Shit, we gotta watch.
I know, I get dragged for this all the time.
No, I'm not dragging you. I'm saying,
but that's how I learned about no fats, no femmes, no Asians, because they are fat, femme, and Asian. And they had like a pop song that they made at the end for like the finale that was kind of flipping it on its head.
Gay men got dragged so hard for that and so regularly.
So it's just gone underground.
They changed it now to things like their bios will say, looking for a guy who takes care of himself, looking for workout
buddies.
See, that's
the most pervasive and insidious, I feel like, version of fat phobia is like this
for sure.
implication of like.
I go to the gym more than most of these guys.
Yeah, fuck
I also,
off.
These are like literally guys who do meth and cocaine and drink every night of the week.
Yeah.
And go to the gym less than I do, that are like, I need a guy who takes care of himself.
If that ain't the truth.
A guy who's active. I do more in a day than these guys do in a month.
Right.
And it's like, but it's that fat phobia to where they internalize thinness because they have nothing going for them, because they're not particularly kind or interesting or funny or smart. The only thing that they have from the world to attach worth to inside of themselves is thinness, and the world is giving that to them. And so there are a lot of gay men who, not having particularly close relationships with their families or very deep friendships, because a lot of their friendships are based on partying and party culture. And this is not all gay men. I'm saying there's a particular sect, specifically in LA, specifically in WeHo, where all they have to attach their worth to is being thin and desired by somebody. And being desired by you as an ugly person, they think, or a fat person or an old person or whatever, is so disrespectful. To desire them is to disrespect them, because they attach so much of their worth to being thin and young. And because you haven't accomplished thinness and youngness, you are offending them by being attracted to them.
You like so don't have the right to even have
it's,
that.
It's offensive. Why would you ever speak to me? And it's like, well, because I'm doing you a favor. I'm speaking to you because I'm cool.
Yeah, this is the crazy thing. It's like, I feel like this is why it's so important.
You're getting blessed.
Right.
I'm grateful that you're speaking on it, because I feel like it's like, especially Angelinos, need to fucking listen. It's like, there is so much at stake if the culture itself is like so fat phobic that you're actually driving, like you're making fat people feel uncomfortable just existing like in this city. Do we realize how detrimental to the culture that ultimately is?
What I will say, I don't feel uncomfortable. I feel fine. I feel very lucky that I have done enough work and I know myself and I know like, I know
which
that
probably
I'm
is was a lot of work though.
Yeah, it was. But I'm saying like I just point this out as like it is factual that when I'm in LA, I feel presences of body shame and body things that totally. I don't feel elsewhere. Yeah. I also, yeah, people just talk to you differently than they do in other parts of the country. But like it doesn't make me feel necessarily a type of way. I know who I am. I know that I am very good at what I do. I'm a great friend. I'm hot. I know my friend. Like I'm good, but it is present and it just makes you go. Especially as a comedian and someone who thinks about the way that people's brains works, all like that's what I spend most of my time thinking about is what are these people thinking and why are they like this? I find it fascinating.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I also feel an immense amount of empathy for these people because a lot of these young, white, thin gay men who move to WeHo are from places and families and situations that just truly tore them down to such a place where all they have to offer themselves in terms of worth is the destruction of other people around them.
And it's just to like appease. It's just like, you're just probably appeasing the stand. It's like the closer you are to the standard,
the ideal.
I think the more like venomous of a person you can become, like, or you, when you can, like, you're so close, but you're the notch is that you're gay, but you're still a white, you know, cis.
You're so
I think it can make you a really bitter, venomous fucking person.
What was the thing? Who fucking said?
Or like
thing?
White women? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Was it
proximity to perfectness?
Yeah.
Proximity to perfection.
Who said the thing about like a lot of white women like aren't fighting for like actual equality?
This is Imani Barber, right?
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Imani Barber said like white women aren't fighting for equality. They're fighting to be able to like use the full extent of
their
privilege.
And the same for like white gays. She was saying the same for like white gay people, right?
100. Mm-hmm.
I've been very surprised. People have dragged me for this before and I don't care because it's correct. That so many women, queer people, marginalized people in general start to exhibit in an attempt to take up space in the places they exist. They start to exhibit the traits of straight white males that we all hate.
Totally. Yeah.
They start being, I'm not going to say thank you. I'm not going to say sorry or just anymore. I'm going to stop being effusive in my emails. I'm going to do this, that, and the other thing, which is all fine to an extent. You have to monitor those things for sure. But some people go so far with it that they become carbon copies of the straight white men that we hate. Mm-hmm. And then they're surprised when I don't like them.
Mm. Yeah.
You have internalized homophobia. I'm like, no, I actually don't hate you for being a gay person. I hate you because you're acting like the people I hated before I met you.
But I really hear you on like having empathy for those people and trying to have compassion because I bet that there's a huge overlap and it's like, I'm not a fucking therapist. I can't like psychoanalyze everyone, but I love to anyway.
Go for it.
It's just like, there's probably so much disordered eating and disordered thinking.
Oh baby, take it from a professional.
In the gay community. Like, I mean, it's something I live with and it's like, I think I do think it's a disease. Like, and I think that it's something that, you know, when you are not able to love yourself unconditionally, then you're gonna like project those same really harsh conditions like onto the people around you. And it ultimately is so isolating and it keeps your life really small.
That's what judgment is. I mean, anytime I'm judging someone, it's because I'm
judging yourself.
Yeah, baby.
There's a hard thing too about all of these kind of conversations because I intellectually feel very like comedy is so much easier to just pick a side. Like, there's not really much. There is room for nuance in comedy, but so much. Things are often so much funnier when you just pick an opinion and say,
"Yeah,
this is
how it's so true."
I hate being at the DMV, or you know, I love blah blah. It's like, there's not much humor in being like, I think it's very complex to under. You know what I mean? It's like, shut up.
I think it's much more satisfying.
That does feel
maybe,
like we're like that was
else.
The second record. The third record is like, shut up.
I think it's just hard
just
to
have fun. Shut up.
It's so much harder to. I mean, I think it's just how we all. If you're thinking, you're living in like the nuance of existence, and it's a hard place to fucking live. You know what I mean? It's not necessarily like, ooh, I love to
never know actually how I feel about something because I could never fully understand another person.
It feels good to like blame something and be like, no, fuck that, and like, fuck you.
Yeah,
but
it feels good.
But then when you like zoom out and you're like, oh, it's all like the intergenerational like trails of trauma.
And
but,
we just gotta like, have fun. That's also, the truth.
Oh, well, yeah. Okay.
Stop being a bummer, guys.
With jokes specifically, I'm like, so often I will start a joke from one... I'll start a joke and work on it for a while from one vantage point. Like, I'll be like, I fucking hate this.
How do you work on a joke? I don't understand.
Doing it badly in front of an audience.
Okay.
But I'll work on something from a specific vantage point and be like, I fucking hate this thing. And I'll be like, why isn't this joke working? And then I'll be like, oh, yeah, because you actually love that thing.
Oh,
and so
cute.
The complete turn of the joke is like, oh, when it starts to work is going, yeah, you're not doing it because the audience isn't having fun listening to you talk about something you hate. You like, and then it turns out to be the way it works is that you love it.
Yeah,
That's so funny. You spend time with them, you go, wait. I mean,
can you think of an example of like, okay, I would
recently
love to hear.
I was trying so hard to break a joke about Greta Thunberg and I was like, I hate this girl. Like I don't know why she skipped school and now she gets to be on TV. Like I don't like, she gets to like dress down world leaders on like, at like news conferences.
Yeah, she does.
I'm like, this is insane. And then I'm like, the joke's not working. It's not working. And I'm like, oh, it's because you need to frame it as loving that.
Yeah.
You know, this is iconic. This girl has done absolutely nothing. Like, it's so incredible that she just skipped school. I skipped school and nothing ever happened for me. She's on TV. She gets to go in front of world leaders and say, the oceans are rising and I cannot swim. And then she's an icon and she like, people love her. And it's like, that was the turn of that for me where it's like, oh yeah, you don't actually hate that. You actually are very jealous of that.
Yeah,
I want to
totally.
Be 14 and famous for doing absolutely nothing. Why does she? I don't know. She's not the voice of anything. It makes no sense. She like, but I'm like, I'm really actually happy for her. I'm excited for that.
I love this as like a vessel of like, this is a way to get a vessel of self-knowledge. Like you try and write the joke to feel out, you know, just testing out whether you hate something or love something.
Yeah.
I would much rather love something. It takes so much more. I don't like the feeling of the
hate
in the
body. I'm
trying
to hate more things recently, actually.
What? But I think that's fair for you.
I'm trying to hate more things.
Joe is flabbergasted.
What are you trying to
Joe
fucking
is taking
hate?
A woebegone, taking a bag.
I'm just trying to be like, no.
Oh, you're trying. Is that hate or is
that's
that actually putting up a boundary?
That's a
well,
boundary.
Well, it's like I hated that experience. I'm never doing that again.
Don't ever
oh,
set a
okay.
boundary with me.
Yeah.
Just so you guys know, don't ever set a boundary.
Well,
with me.
You'll cross. Don't ever set a boundary.
Isn't
with me.
Isn't it fucking annoying when somebody sets a boundary with you?
Well, do they tell it you? Is. I don't like that.
I
that's
when people no people will try to like I do have because I have a lot of emotional
I'm bad
intelligent
at it.
Friends, mature,
highly sensitive,
and
people.
And they'll be like, I really need to set a boundary. Like when I say, you know, I can't hang out right now. You can't like. You can't make me feel bad about it. Like, I'm like, no, I'm gonna keep asking you to hang out because that's what I want to do. You can't set a boundary with me. I'm your like being close friends with someone is supposed to be boundaryless. You can never set a boundary with
this
me.
This is really fertile ground because I
so
think
toxic.
So many people are navigating.
Two people are navigating very opposite sides of.
Oh,
I
saw.
I follow a therapist on Instagram who posted recently that like it was like some people use setting boundaries as like a way to maintain like more power in the relationship,
yeah.
Like a tool of manipulation. And I, when I read that, I was like, nope.
nope.
Because
that's real.
I think that could have.
It's
my
like
name
when
on
someone
it.
Says I uses therapized language in a conversation with you, but you can tell they're still being a stupid little bitch and they're saying something. You know what I mean? But they'll say something like, "I hear that." And I'm holding space for that. And then they proceed to say it's the dumbest thing you've ever heard in
you
your
know
life.
What's right. funny?
You know,
like, holding
if
space
I'm saying
for
I
that,
hear
that is
that's
funny.
Simply all that I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's me being like, I have feedback, but I don't think that you are going to be open to it.
So
I'm just going to say I hear it.
Mm-hmm. Well, people also
and you'll
to,
never know what I really think.
People try to use like therapy terms about stuff that they'll be like, I just like in my body for my mental health and for me to continue in this relationship, I just need you to like, not listen to this song when we're together. Like something just like you just didn't like the song. You know what I mean? It's like they try to make all these little things about like just because of the trauma I have around my parents, I can't actually.
This is me.
Like, if someone that is not you. That is not
Kitty,
you.
Kitty, that's
if someone's
so
interacting with me in that way, I think I would lose my mind.
No, it's too annoying.
Yeah,
it's too annoying.
It's
I would just
annoying.
Make fun of them. I would just be like, you're absolutely on one for that.
We're gonna no get way. It together. We're like figuring. It out right now. I'm seeing it pop. I'm seeing the conversations online pop up about like, hey, honeys, like in our generation, like we need to learn a little more about resilience and like sometimes you are supposed to be triggered and like I think we'll figure it out.
A little bitch.
Sometimes you're just being a little bitch
and
that's the word for it.
Bitch. Fuck Mary fuck, marry, kill, writing, like writing.
Okay.
Performing stand-up.
Okay.
Acting.
Marry acting, my favorite thing to do.
Lit.
That's what I want to do the most.
Fuck yeah.
I think it's so fun. Fuck performing live.
Yeah.
Well, that is a very raw kind of like, you guys know, that's like
carnal.
The thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And kill writing. I mean, working on the thing I want to, there's nothing
just
to
be
that.
Done.
Yeah, I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
But I do it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, cool.
I would marry writing.
But that makes sense for songs. It makes sense for you. Also, you want
to
talk
and
about
And I wait, can we actually, I really need to know about your experience
you
of Pray Away
To be honest with you, we're probably just going to keep the whole episode. Just
yeah, we probably will. I'll just cut this just stuff.
What do you want to know? What is the,
what the
happened?
Fuck, what happened?
You know, you.
I grew up, I mean, my upbringing was probably just very different.
Yeah, what was your religion?
No, I just grew up Jewish.
Grew up Jewish in
Jewish
in
Los
in
Angeles.
California, LA.
The correct religion, the one correct one.
Truly, I've said this for so long. It's true. Truly, Judaism is the correct religion. I grew up in Missouri in a very small town. Church were non-denominational, Baptist, Methodist. Like, that was the world of it. And praying it away was, like, really, I just wanted to be... I kind of thought that being gay was a bad thing. Like, where people... That was what bad people did. It was a problem.
Correct.
You didn't want to be that.
Yeah.
And which has turned out to be correct.
and ultimately, yeah.
I'm doing it anyway, but that is has turned out to be the truth. And, yeah, so... But I will tell you, you were talking about something where you were like, oh, no, shove that down.
While
I was trying to pray the gay away, that my church had this big thing against secular music. They're like, just only listen to godly things. Trash in, trash out. And so I really tried. That was honestly maybe one of the hardest things about trying to be Christian, because I love music so much and
really
always
do.
Have. I'm a huge fan of music, which is sounds like a stupid thing to say because everyone's like, oh, okay, you listen to music. But it's like, I really
you
do.
Listen.
I mean, when the hourly, like when Spotify hourly comes out at the end of the year and people are like, you listen to 10,000 hours of music. People are like, oh, that's so much. Mine is always like quintuple. Like, it's like, I just, it's all I do. I'll just lay in my house and listen to music instead of watching TV. So it was really hard for me to be like, I'm only going to listen to Christian rock, like, or whatever we have available to us.
Third day.
Also, it's so one tone.
Switch
like,
foot.
All
yes.
Christian music, it sounds the same.
And it also made me more guilty because I was like, then I was thinking about all the ways I wasn't being a good Christian. So this is the problem though. Trey Songz had an album cover.
Let's talk about
where
that.
He is shirtless
he's
and like dripping with water. I'm like getting hot thinking about it. He is so fucking hot. That album is so sexy. It has like Neighbors Know My Name, Invented Sex.
I have a story about that.
I mean, this album is fucking hot. And so when I loved those songs, and then when it would come on like my iPod, like the little album cover would come up every time, I'd be like, I'm not going to be able to do this.
Yeah.
I'm going to have
to
be gay because this is the hottest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Oh my God.
Maybe
that's so
horny.
Sick. Lee, tell us what's up with you.
Or if you want our goofy little fans to go do anything.
Give us your handle. So they can follow you. They've definitely already do.
They for sure already
I'm about
do.
To be in Kansas City and Chicago for shows, but you can't come to them if you don't already have tickets because they're all sold out.
Woo!
Sorry
yes.
to say.
And don't bother him.
And don't try me. And then I'll be back in L.A. in
Don't
September.
Try me.
Don't try me. I'll
wow.
be back in L.A. Lit. In September doing shows again. And then I'm going to try to go other places as well.
Lit.
Wow, are we going to be in L.A. for any of your shows or are we going to be gone?
When do you guys leave?
Like September.
You like the 3rd of September?
Yeah.
No, you guys are going to miss all my shows.
Fuck
her. Fuck me.
That's really effed up of you guys.
We'll be here all November, December.
It'll happen. But,
yeah.
It'll happen.
Yeah, we're going to spend the rest of our lives making art together.
That is true.
And around each other.
And that's the pact.
And that's the pact. And that is ultimately the tea. And if you guys want to follow me on social media, you really don't have to. But please focus on Instagram more than Twitter. We need to move some numbers over there. My handle on everything is Caleb Says Things. And if you want to email me... you can reach out to my team.
You want to email me? Don't.
Don't think about it. Don't
unless
even try
it's about
it.
A project.
Thank you for coming on. We love you.
I really, really sincerely love you guys. I feel
God
so lucky
speed.
To be your friend.
God bless you.
So mutual.
Title that.
God bless.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.